Morning, Church. My name is Lorenda, and I am the Chair of Mission and Evangelism here at Faith. And as you've already been hearing about, this month is Missions Month here at Faith Baptist, and we are focusing on ministries right here in our own church, right here in our own community, because those ministries are so very important. We need to reach our own Jerusalem as well as the rest of the world. So we've got a lot of really great things going on. We have prayer breakfasts that happen every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Larissa Manchinsky and her team have put together an amazing kids program. So if you think, oh, I can't come to prayer meeting because I have kids. No, there's a great program for the kids where they also learn about missions. We have whoever our missionary speaker is for that week sharing with us. We feed you breakfast, of course. That's, we should, probably shouldn't call it a breakfast. We aren't going to feed you. We feed you breakfast. Then our missionary speaker shares with us, and we spend some time praying together. More of an informal time than we have on Sunday mornings, and just a nice opportunity to get together and do what God's called us to do, to pray together, to gather together to pray. So Saturday morning, next week, the following week, I invite you to come out Saturday morning, 9 o'clock in the gym. As Stuart has already mentioned, the potluck next Sunday night, 5:30. Some of our people from in our own church who have been doing missions will be sharing with us after that, so I encourage you to come to that as well. One thing that we do every year is we take a special offering during missions conference for our missions project. So on your regular offering envelope, in the other, you can just write missions project and give whatever it is that God has laid upon your heart to give. Our missions offering this year will be divided among the four people that have shared with us. So last week, Pastor Jean was here with regards to the Rio 2016 trip, and then our missionaries that we have for the next 3 weeks. So that offering that we take up will be divided among those four groups. So I just really want to challenge you to ask the Lord what he would have you to give to this offering. Our goal for that is $12,000. We would like to bless each of these ministries in a big way this year. So Lord God, I just pray that you would look to the Lord for what you can do. As I've said, we're looking at local mission. Man, not like me to not be able to talk, is it? I'm usually pretty good at yakking and can do it all day. We are looking at local ministries this year. And there are a lot of amazing ministries in this city. We've already been exposed to City Kids this morning, but we don't want you to just look at these ministries and say, oh, wow, look at that, great ministry. But pray about how God would have you to be involved in these ministries. When I'm in charge of something and I pray for volunteers, what I pray for is obedience, because I know that God has the volunteers that Donna needs so that she can take those other 20 kids in. But people just need to be obedient. And if the Lord's knocking on your heart and saying you're the one, I just encourage you to talk to Dawn after and see what you can do to be involved with that ministry. And we're going to hear about some more amazing ministries in the weeks to come. See where God would have you to be involved. This morning, we're thrilled to have Walter and Cindy Selke with us. Walter and Cindy met many years ago at Nippon Bible College. The Lord was placing on both their hearts a desire to be in First Nations ministry. So they have come to Regina. 21 years ago, they started Healing Hearts Ministry, which has grown from a little tiny fellowship of a few people into an organization that now has more than 40 missionaries out there working under their umbrella. An incredible couple, an incredible ministry that they're doing, and I just want to welcome Walter as he comes and shares with us about the work that's going on there.
Wow, just great to be here. I was just I over-revved this morning. You can hear my voice a little bit. I was just sitting there, and you know, you preach a sermon, and anybody that's preached it all recognizes that it actually you project a lot of energy. Then I did a Sunday school hour, so I'm sitting there and I was going, boy, I could fall asleep. I just looked at Donna and said, man, I sure hope whoever's preaching is good because I'm going to sleep right away. So here's hoping I don't fall asleep in the middle of my sermon. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of being here, and I am just so thankful for Pastor Spear and his willingness to open the pulpit up to the different ministries. That is a very real privilege, and I don't take that for granted. This is a very special moment, and I'm very thankful for it, that I would be allowed at this time. Just a couple little notes. A, shake hands with Donna. Get to know Donna. That's an incredible ministry. It just is so fitting that she's here the week that we're here. She's been attending Healing Hearts now, I don't know, how many years? 4 years. She attends Healing Hearts way more than I attend Healing Hearts. Guaranteed that. I have the privilege of going and seeing a lot of our staff, and I get to speak in different functions like this. And so it's been wonderful to have her part of the team at Healing Hearts and to be able to encourage the ministry that she has through City Kids. And so for sure get to know her, sign up, pray for her. And also we have some new prayer cards out. I don't know if they're new or not. They're kind of newish. Yeah, they're new. Okay, Cindy's saying, yes, they are new. They're new. Please pick one up and pray for us. We would love that. If you would like to receive our prayer letter, and we do like to send out hard copy because we recognize that it is really easy to delete an email. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you have had a prayer letter come in from a missionary in your email and it accidentally got erased with all the other clutter that shows up in your email. But I do that occasionally. So what I want to do is send it to you so you could put it on your counter and then on your table. And then when you make supper, then you move it back to your counter. And maybe at some point you'll open it and read and pray for us, and we will be so privileged. And I do, to me, that's something sacred, okay? Our prayer letter list to us, I count as sacred. Of all the things on my computer, that's the most valuable bit of, because with your prayers, we can do anything. It's your prayers. And we thank you for that, because your petitioning the Lord gives us the spiritual sort of armor that we can go into battle, because what we do is spiritual battle. So please, we have your church directory back there. So I make it really easy. If you'd like to receive, circle your name and address. If you would just like to receive the email, just circle your email. But I you know, be honest with you, I prefer to send hard copy. I'm old school. Sue me. I don't care. So that'd be good. Also, we have pens back there, like the one I lost. Oh, yeah, there it is. But you know, take a pen, pray for us, talk with us. We'd love to share with you what God is doing. And I know Donna would love to share with you, and that'd be wonderful. I am so privileged that to be, wow, there is no way it's 12 o'clock. I'm supposed to be done right now. 12:30? 12:01? Actually, Lorenda says, Walter, there's nothing going on after you. Give her! I went, yeah. Anyway, I just want to have a very brief history. It's just 24 years ago, I got involved with Faith Baptist Church. I still remember the day that Ed Chan and Bob Dick got together and invited me out to connect with them, and they invited me to connect with the pastors here. And at the time, I was running a youth group, and we had a real dynamic youth group. And I'm going to be openly admit, I was selfish. I thought of Faith Baptist Church, and I looked, and I said, gymnasium. Yes. It came, I was running the youth group, and I wanted the gym. And so it was a good thing. Pastor Fred was running your youth at that time, and we had just some wonderful times of fellowship together. You know, several years into that journey, the Lord really laid on me to begin Healing Hearts Ministry, and I shared a lot of that during Sunday school, where some of you are at. You know what? And that was 21 years ago. And Faith Baptist Church was already a part of that. I know you're full of grace also, but you're full of faith. But Faith Baptist Church was a part of that. So I want to thank you that you have partnered with us all these years. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in prayer and giving and support. I want to thank you for that, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do what we can do, what we are doing now. So we praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for you guys. And we think very often of many of you. You guys have the privilege. I can preach up here and I can share stories, but I encourage you not to believe me, but to come and see. Come and see. I would love to have coffee with you. I'd love to take you through what God is doing. You have the privilege of doing that. You could hold me accountable. And I can walk with you on the streets and show you what God is doing and where God is doing it. So I would encourage you to do that. Come and see and just be blessed in that. I want us to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and I'm going to be going through just a little preamble to the Great Commission, okay? And as you're turning, I'd like to pray together. Father, I come to you in the name and the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask you to take over in this time, these few minutes we share together around your word. Lord, your word is precious to us. It is a source of light and direction. And Father, we pray that you would come, and by your Holy Spirit, that you would come and anoint your word, and through it you would dwell with us. And in it, Lord, we would just be touched by you. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit come. And I just right now would just ask you to take over and just to take away anything of the flesh or those things that would tear away. Father, would you cleanse me this day? Give me your thoughts. Help me to be led by your Spirit as your word comes alive. And Lord, those things I've prepared, Lord, I lay those on the altar. And I sacrifice it all to you and ask you, Lord, to do your will in this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Matthew 28, and I want to just do a little bit of a summary of this. Is this on? Am I coming through? Perfect. Okay. Can you just hit my monitor just a touch? That'd be awesome. What happens is that PA systems almost create that's enough. a voice vacuum, and then I like to be able to be heard. Little story. I was preaching in this church, probably a little larger than this, and I was just getting up there, and I kept seeing this more senior lady at the back of the church going over to the sound booth, and I'm going, they can't hear me. I have to be louder. And so I just revved up, I was giving her, and I was beating, I was having the time of my life. I was just going, and the word was coming alive, and we're just giving her, and then I heard her, saw her get up again, so I tried to get a little louder, and then she got up another time. I said, that's all I got. I ain't got no more. We're done. And so, I finished preaching, and we prayed, and all that, and then I get down afterwards, and I said, I am so sorry. And then I went and I talked to the sound person. I said, what's wrong? She said, I saw the lady get up. Obviously, she couldn't hear. She said, she kept asking me to turn you down. She said, in the end, the last time she came up and asked to turn you down, I had you off. Didn't matter. Anyway, we'll see if that doesn't happen. In the book of Matthew, what we see right here is that God had, through Jesus... Jesus had just lived with the 12 disciples, had just spent 3 years with the 12 disciples. He had got crucified. The disciples scattered, and you know the Easter story. And then we see that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that incredible work that we hang all our salvation on, the work of the cross and a resurrected Savior, that what makes us unique and different. There is only one way. There is only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ has died and rose again. And in that, We see all that, and then we see that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people in that time. And he was seen all by all these people, and finally it was almost time for him to leave. And so he called an appointment. And this was an important appointment that he called here. And we see a little earlier in verse 10 of Matthew 28, he says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" He made an appointment with them. You know, and I don't know, I'd been pretty excited about that appointment. You know, there's appointments you don't get excited about. You know, I used to, when I was growing up, regularly, they would say, "Walter, you have an appointment with the principal." That's not such a good appointment. You know, you'd be sitting there going, "I don't like this appointment." And, you know, then they always made you stand outside the office and wait, sort of the wall of shame. Or else, it was the other guys who also sat at the wall of shame and become the wall of honor. "What'd you do?" "Oh, that's nothing. This is what I did." Anyway, ADD. I'm sorry, I shared this in the first meeting, but as a preacher, a pastor, and I see everything that's going on. Like I see who texts, and I see who picks their nose, and I see who falls asleep, and I see who, when I've really hit close to home, I see the wife going, "Listen," or the other way around. But it's really hard on me because I do battle ADD quite a bit. And so if I see something shiny, I'm off. Anyway, we see that there's this appointment that Jesus called. And Jesus had said, "You know what? I have this divine appointment. I'm calling you guys to come. We're going to have a meeting on that mountain." But there's a very important section right in between the meeting, him calling the meeting and the meeting. And there's this little section there where it talks about how they spread the rumor that the disciples had stole Jesus' body out of the tomb. They spread a lie. And you know and I know, nothing travels like a lie. Lies just are out there, and people hear a lie before they hear the truth. There is no doubt in my mind that you've had people tell lies about you, and you're just going, "Wow, I can't believe how much traction this got. I can't believe all the people are lying about me." I am so blessed that people will come and talk to me and say, "Walter, do you know what I just heard about you?" And I look forward to it. I said, "No." What? I want to hear. Because, you know, if people are so determined to make a lie up about you, you must be pretty important. Anyway, there's this big lie spread about Jesus, and this lie was going, there's no doubt the disciples heard this lie. And they're probably frustrated and angry that someone was talking about them, telling lies, and the entire, "Oh, Jesus, he was just stolen. His body was stolen by the disciples. His body, you know, we're okay, that's intriguing, but how on earth, if his body was stolen, so how did he appear to hundreds of people alive? So either they were incompetent executioners. "Oh, no, I thrust that spear up. The water and the blood came poured out. He was dead." They're incompetent guards. So they could have been, you know, it's on so many levels, it was a bizarre lie. But you know what? The enemy likes lies. He's the father of lies. He likes to tell lies. Anyways, he causes me with the disciples, and we're just going to go on. He says, verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them." I'm just gonna sit there a little bit. Appointed. Do you know that right now, right this second, right this moment, all of you guys right here in this room, you guys are appointed to be here right now. This is a divine appointment. God called you to be here. God wants you to be here. God has designed that you would be here right now at this moment, at this second, because He wants to meet with you. He wants to touch you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to transform your heart. He wants to bring you closer to Him. He wants to fellowship with you. This is a divine appointment, just like it was for the disciples. He called them in. You know, they had lived in 3 years of blessing. They lived in 3 years. They saw Jesus rise people from the dead. Can you imagine? That would just be freaky. You couldn't go to a funeral because He kept calling them off. They'd be a funeral position. They walked by Jesus. They rose up. You saw Him raise people from the dead. He caused people to walk who were lame. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the people to be able to hear. He healed diseases. And He delivered people from demonic powers and darkness. He was a deliverer, healer, restorer. He was the Almighty God, and they were living in that blessing. He came out walking on the water. Got your attention? He came walking on the water. He told the storm to cease, and it did. He had authority. He was Almighty God, and they lived in that blessing for 3 years. It was incredible. Could you imagine being one of Jesus' disciples? You never knew what He was going to do next. But you never knew what He wasn't going to do. And that's what made Him unpopular. He wasn't going to bow down to the Pharisees. He wasn't going to be told how He was supposed to do something. He fed the 5,000 once, but He didn't do it again. He didn't heal every single person, or He didn't go around and heal every person in all of Israel. Some people were still sick. Some people still died. Because Jesus was Jesus. Sometimes we like to think we can control Jesus. And we want Him to do what we want Him to do. But back up a little bit. You know, living in His blessing is a privileged position. I remember when we started Healing Hearts Ministry, you need to appreciate that I just come out of Nipawin Bible College. Nipawin Bible College. Now, Faith Baptist Church is fairly conservative. You don't know conservative unless you've gone to Nipawin Bible College. Okay. And so I went to Nipawin Bible College. I came to the Lord when I was 20. So I was baptized a Lutheran at a baby, as a child. I got... Evelyn's crying. I made her cry. I was baptized a Lutheran. I went 3 times a year, whether you needed to or not. So that's, you know, that secured my salvation. Then I found Jesus when I was 20 years of age. I didn't know what church was about, and I didn't know who really God was. When I went to Bible school, I discovered amazing things. The patriarchs are related. Didn't know that, I'll bet. I didn't. I didn't know New Testament, Old Testament. I kind of knew there was 2 parts of the book, and everybody says, well, start reading that John. I went, okay. But I was like, I knew nothing. I went to Bible school. Then I worked in this little First Nations church. And then all of a sudden, I just felt the call of God to start Healing Hearts Ministry. We started Healing Hearts. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. But you know what? God doesn't always call the people who know. God calls the people who are willing, who are obedient. If you know how to do it, then you do it. If you don't know how to do it, then God does it. You get that? God challenged me to start the church. So we started it, and there I was starting this church. And people started coming to church. Freaked me out. Well, you know, I'll tell you early on in the beginning of the church, and this experience is blessing, but I thought, what if nobody comes? Have you ever thought about that? What if no one comes? There I'm starting a church. I am a missionary. Faith Baptist Church supports me. Body get at her. What if nobody comes? And I remember God just challenging me that one day when all of a sudden I thought to myself, what if no one comes? And then all of a sudden the Lord just quickened that into my heart. He said, what if nobody comes? What are you going to do? And I just sat there and I pondered that. I went, what if no one comes? What if Cindy takes the kids and they go to Sunday school and every chair is empty? What are you going to do? And I just said, Lord, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach. Because ministry isn't about people responding, it's about obedience. Following the Lord isn't because it's popular or you're going to start pastoring this big church. It's because you are obedient. God calls us into a walk of obedience, not always success in our eyes. Praise the Lord. At least one person was always there for me to preach at. Occasionally, he got an awful lot. But in those early days of starting the church, we saw, now again, I was Baptist, I was pretty conservative. Someone came and they wanted prayer for healing, and so we know as a pastor, I prayed. They were healed. Growth disappeared. People were restored. Cancers disappeared. I can't explain it or understand it because it wasn't a part, it wasn't my faith. But that was living in God's blessing. God blessed for whatever reason at that moment. And he initiated Healing Hearts Ministry in that ministry. And he started doing things and God started moving and lives were being transformed and people's lives were being taken up. And it was amazing. The 12 disciples, they went and they had this appointment with God. Starting again at 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. You know, oh, you are the Most High God. You resurrected from the dead. Yeah, it's incredible. God. You know, like they were just, I mean, I could just see him worshiping. But now, in the very next line, but some doubted. You know that doubts come our way even when we've had the most incredible experiences with God. Doubts start to come and manifest in our heart and our life. And doubts usually come because of lies. You know, these guys, they just told a whole lie. You know, the elders, you know, and the consulted, and together they gave large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, tell the disciples came and stole them away. There was a lie. The reality is that in our lives, we get full of doubt because of the lies that people start to put upon us or the lies we have come to believe about ourselves or about others. Lies in our life will destroy you. It'll destroy me. You know, the reality is that a Healing Hearts, oh, it's easy to be a missionary and come forward and tell you all the success stories. But I'll tell you what, people have walked away from the church mad at leadership because they started to believe a lie. You need to know that the enemy will tell us the lies we want to hear to cause us to separate and divide. I know that Baptists don't separate and divide. But the enemy loves to destroy because it's about the kingdom. You see, we are kingdom workers. When people, I try to hold everything we have at Healing Hearts very, very open and loose because it's about kingdom ministry. How can we see the kingdom of God grow? How can we see the kingdom of God build up? How can we see the kingdom of God, you know, nurtured and go and do things for the kingdom? It's not about healing hearts. If healing hearts were to disappear tomorrow and the kingdom were to grow, praise God, I'd probably have a bit of a whip, you know, pity party. I'm not, you know. But praise God, because it's about the kingdom. The reality is that doubts come into each one of our hearts and lives because of the lies that are out there. And it doesn't matter how wonderful your Christian experience has been, that doesn't make you immune from doubt. You may have seen the most incredible spiritual experiences. That doesn't make you immune from doubt. Doubt will come into your hearts and your lives, and it will cause you to not to want to worship. It will cause you to want to start division. It will cause you to feel all alone. You can tell right away when the doubt has shown up. It's sort of like I call it the Elijah syndrome, where he felt all alone. And that's another whole sermon we won't go to today. But you know, we all can feel alone in the body. And the best way to stop feeling alone is start to build bridges to our fellow, because they're also feeling alone. Start reaching out to the person that's next to you in the pew that maybe looked at you sideways because they were having a bad day. And start to destroy the lies of the enemy in your heart and your life, and embrace truth. Yeah, we got time. This is awesome. You see, this morning I was up against Sunday school. And I knew who the speaker in the one Sunday school class was, so I didn't want to take away from his time. Well, this is awesome, because we got time. But some doubted. Where are you living in doubt? Where's the doubt in your heart? And Jesus came and spoke to them. You know, this is amazing. This just blows my mind, because the reality is that if Jesus came and just spoke to them, if I was Jesus, have you ever played that game? You know, someone once said, the difference between God and us, God never pretends he's us. If I was Jesus, I would have kicked these disciples' butt. What do you mean you're doubting? Stop believing lies. Give your head a shake. Punt. Quit believing lies. But Jesus didn't do that. Probably the most dynamic statement he gave was right this following. It's the job description for all believers. It's the job description. You need to keep reading. It's the job description. If you say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, read it. Read it. It's your job description. And once you start doing that, he'll fine-tune you. He'll fine-tune you, but don't stop. Get going. Anyway, and Jesus said and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. You know, it's pretty comfortable to sit still. I was watching a football game last night, and I had my bride under my arm, and I was leaning against a cushion in the couch, and I had a cold glass of water sitting right there. I think I probably even had some snacks. That's comfortable. And if you were to want me to get up and do something, I wouldn't want to do that, because that's comfortable. But God calls us to go. That doesn't mean we can't spend some time resting. We're not driven. But he calls us to go, to get out of our comfort zone, to get out and start doing things cross-culturally. Start God going out and doing something that may be a little bit uncomfortable. He calls us to go. Every single believer. Now, some of you are saying, you know what? I don't know how to go. Well, the very first steps you can go is you can go in prayer. You know, we put on the armor through prayer. You could go in prayer and be praying for the missionaries. You can be praying for the people out there who are doing the work of the ministry. You can be praying for your pastor. You can be praying for your elders. You can pray for your committee leaders. You can pray and pray and pray. You know what? It's really hard to gossip about someone who you're praying for. Start in prayer. Go in prayer. Seek in prayer. And say, oh, I'm not a prayer warrior. Okay? Go and do. You're more of a James. Go and do. Do a short term. Come on out and help Donna with City Kids. You know what? We need Sunday school teachers at Healing Hearts like crazy. We really do. And we need youth workers like crazy. That doesn't mean you leave your church. You stay in your church. But I need to tell you something. If you come to the 8:30 service here, you can get to Healing Hearts no problem. No problem. Isn't that right, Donna? Yeah, and you won't be late. You know, 11:15, not a problem. Can we start 11-ish sharp? You know, come on now. We need that. It's desperate. We are turning programs off because the workers are not rising up. And the workers are out there. They need to get up and go. You can't stay put. Maybe God's telling you to go and give. You know, you gotta get that checkbook out. And I know you gotta blow the dust off it, but that's okay. Go, you know what? Someone told me, and I meet with mission leaders, and they told me the day of faith missions is over. Because churches no longer give. And I said, that is so sad. That is so sad. You know what? I know this church gives. You know, almost half of my support to be in Regina is from Faith Baptist Church. From the church and the individuals in the church. For that, I am so thankful. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we are called to give. To get uncomfortable. And no, I'm not going to promise you prosperity. But you need to pray about obedience and giving as you would and pray about obedience and prayer and obedience and action. You need to pray. All parts of our life need to be done in obedience. As God calls us to go, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to follow? The rest of that is there. That's a job description. You can read that. But the imperative is therefore go. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would just take and the things that were of your heart, that you would quicken them by your spirit and let them sink deep into our hearts. That which is of the flesh, oh Lord, wash that away. We do not need that. We don't want it. We don't want any part to do with it. But as your spirit has spoken, quicken that into our hearts and our lives, that through it we might honor and glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be out back there. You need to know that I am not opposed to locking up a church. In other words, as long as someone's wanting to talk, I will be here to chat. I'm here. I want to minister. If you need prayer, I'm here to minister to you in prayer. I'm committed to minister back as we are ministered to. And so I know Donna's here. She wants to talk with you. She's one of the finest Christian ladies I know. I want you to connect with her and just encourage her in the work that she's doing. And maybe you're going to get a chance to go pack a little lunch or something. That'd be a good thing, all right? Would you rise with me for the benediction? All right. Now to him who is able to kick us and get us going. Now to him who is mighty above all things and who is able to touch hearts and transform lives. To him be all glory and power and majesty and dominion for now and forever. Amen.